You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's still very early, but everything seems to be lining up for former undrafted free agent Kevin Tolliver to be your week one starter at cornerback opposite Kyle Fuller. Welcome into today's Locked On Bears podcast, brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today we will hear from both Bears coordinators. First, defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano with a few specific updates on this cornerback competition in the wake of Artie Burns' torn ACL. We'll hear an update on the injury Jalen Johnson is dealing with and the opportunity in front of Kevin Tolliver, and specifically some of the things he's worked on and improved on this offseason. We'll wrap up with offensive coordinator Bill Lazor discussing the identity of the running game and what he's trying to establish with David Montgomery and the offensive line. When training camp opened up, it was Artie Burns working with the first team at cornerback, Kevin Tolliver working with the second team, and Jalen Johnson working where he could. And there's a certain expectation that Johnson, being a second-round pick and being a particularly pro-ready prospect in the second round, viewed as a first-round talent by some, that he is going to start eventually. It's a matter of when, not if. And once Artie Burns goes down, the assumption automatically becomes, well, Jalen Johnson, your time is now. But from everything we've gotten so far, it feels more and more like his time is not yet now, and that the Bears are going to have to rely on Kevin Tolliver. It's still very early, but one of the main issues at hand is that Jalen Johnson isn't 100% healthy right now. Chuck Pagano sort of turned to the shoulder injury that Jalen Johnson is still recovering from as part of the reason we haven't seen him get a lot of action at practice. They've done some kind of slow buildup for him. They don't want to not only throw him in head first in terms of learning this defense and adjusting to the NFL, but then also having to watch out for that shoulder and not re-injure it. It's a difficult situation for the defensive coordinator to be in, and it sounds like patience is really going to be the practice from Chuck Pagano.
We all know he's coming off a deal from the offseason and shoulder, so we're being careful with that. But the plays that he's been out there, the controlled environment, situational stuff that he's done, he's done a great job. Again, he can run. He's got length. He's got confidence. He's got ball skills. He's got all that stuff. But, you know, until we actually see him, you know, live, you know, whether, you know, live periods out here, thud periods out here, scrimmage situation, if that comes up, whatever coach, you know, Nagy comes up with, you know, from a drill standpoint, once he's plugged in, just see how he reacts to. It's not going to be, you know, preseason, the lights are on, all that stuff, but we're going to try to manufacture it best we can just to see how he reacts to those situations. And then from, you know, an adversity standpoint, so something's going to go bad. Someone's going to catch a ball. Allen's going to catch a ball on him. You know, there's going to be a bad play, but he seems like a really confident guy. He seems like a guy, you know, playing that position, you got to have amnesia. So, I think those are the situations that, you know, when things get a little bit tough, to see how he responds. It's going to be baptism under fire for all these young guys. Whoever the young guys are that get on the field for us, him being one, whether it's Trevis, you know, Gibson getting out there, Kendall Vildor, whoever, I'm just speaking defensively, they're going to get thrown into the fire, you know, on defense. They're going to get thrown into the fire, you know, on special teams, you know, September 13th, and it's going to count. And they're not all going to be great plays. There's going to be some bad plays. We understand that, but that's okay. We'll correct them and we'll move on. So I think we're going to find out a lot about these guys, you know, when it really, really matters.
Pagano's definitely right when he talks about learning so much more about these guys when it's actual game situations, which makes me feel like they're not necessarily going to put a rookie like that in a position to be a starter while they still need to learn more about him. I mean, we're looking at Jalen Johnson being delayed to even getting up to 100% at training camp and then only having a few short weeks to try and learn the defense and cut some time out of those few short weeks that he already only had, whereas you have somebody like Kevin Tolliver, who spent 2 years in this defense, has started games opposite Kyle Fuller, might not be the ideal choice at the position, but he can get you by. And maybe Jalen Johnson gets some rotational snaps in there, you know, coming in as the fourth cornerback, maybe getting some snaps here and there. You learn about him a little bit, and then when he's ready to go, maybe after a few weeks or half a season or three quarters of a season, whenever he is ready, then Jalen Johnson can take over in that starting spot 100% healthy. As much as these injuries at the cornerback position are tough to deal with, it is creating a great opportunity for Kevin Tolliver in this defense. So up next, we will hear from Chuck Pagano on where Tolliver has grown this offseason and what they still want to see from him, as well as a potential dark horse candidate to play the outside cornerback position that we haven't really talked about yet. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. The Bears are taking their time with trying to find the right parts for their secondary, but fortunately, it's much easier for us to find the right parts for our cars on rockauto.com. They're a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years, with everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So whether you're working on a classic car in the garage or it's just your daily commuter, you can get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered straight to your door. I love how easy to use rockauto.com's catalog is. You literally just find your make, your model, your year, your part, and then it pulls up everything they have available sorted by brand, specification, and prices you prefer. A lot of the chain stores actually have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, so don't spend up to twice as much for the same parts. Go to rockauto.com right now and see everything they have available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Kevin Tolliver is definitely the favorite now to start week one at outside cornerback, but the Bears do have another option that they're potentially working on, and we'll get into that in a moment. But I want to focus in on Mr. Tolliver first, given that he is the current favorite and that he's an interesting guy with an interesting path to get to the Bears. And I think there's some real intrigue here about what he could potentially offer and be ready to take that next step forward. But Chuck Pagano is not a guy who's going to beat around the bush or anything, pun intended when we're talking about Deion Bush, but we're talking about Kevin Tolliver here in terms of what a guy needs to do to really command that starting spot and be the type of player that the Bears need him to be. And I thought he gave a very insightful answer about what were some of the things Kevin Tolliver needed to work on this offseason and some of the things that they need to see from him early on here at these training camp practices.
He's got a great opportunity like the other guys, but he's got to come in and, you know, we talked to him about, you know, from a physical standpoint, obviously we didn't have him, but just working on, you know, his footwork, change of direction, in and out of breaks, you know, as best as he could. And it was very, very difficult, obviously. You guys understand that during these unprecedented times. And some guys had better opportunities to work in facilities and things like that, areas to go out and work on that stuff. So everybody was given kind of a prescription when they left in January from their position coach. And here's three things that you need to go really focus on. And then the mental part of it. You know, and he did, like all of them, he did a phenomenal job. He didn't miss any days on the Zoom. You know, he was, even if they had a safety Zoom meeting off to, you know, to the side, and it was a, you know, hold D back, and that was the safeties, he sat in on every one of those Zoom meetings because he wants to know not only what his job is down in, down out, but the whole scheme. And, you know, why we're calling, what we're calling, what the situation is, understand where his help is, all those kind of things. So I think he's grown, again, from a mental standpoint. Physically, all the tools are there. Now he's just got to go do it. He's got to go line up, and he's got to compete, and he's got to make plays.
One of the other early advantages for Kevin Tolliver is just how he fits the Prince Amukamara role pretty well in terms of his skill set, being a guy more comfortable physically up on the line of scrimmage, trying to press receivers and hang with them downfield. That's not to say they couldn't change things up and, you know, do something differently with Jalen Johnson or Artie Burns before that or at that outside spot. It doesn't have to be the same Fuller Amukamara dichotomy that we saw before, but there should be a level of familiarity there for the rest of the players in the secondary in terms of what they can expect out of Kevin Tolliver at that spot. But the other option the Bears seem to be considering here is Buster Skrin, starting on the outside in base defense and then moving inside to the slot in the nickel, and then that's when you would bring Kevin Tolliver or Jalen Johnson off of the bench to play that outside cornerback spot. And it is a value that Buster Skrin provides, being able to do a little bit of anything that they need him to. The question is, at how high of a level can he do those things? Because I've talked on this podcast before about being disappointed with what Buster Skrin was able to do last season from the slot. He was not a terrible slot cornerback, but he was not a great slot cornerback. He was clearly a step down from what they had in the past from Bryce Callahan, albeit somebody who was able to stay healthy more consistently for the course of the entire season, but was beaten too easily and tended to be a little bit more of the weakness or one of the weaker points in coverage for this Bears defense. But as much as he seems to be more comfortable in that slot cornerback position, he has been used on the outside before. You know, I think a lot of people point back to some of his days in the past, particularly in 2017 with the New York Jets. They were able to move him to the outside a little bit, get him going in a couple of different ways. When they needed some extra depth there, he kind of ended up playing a little bit more of that hybrid inside-outside role that we're talking about here for the Chicago Bears. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where ideally you'd like to be able to keep him at one position so he can kind of do his best at that spot and not have to know multiple roles in the same play call at a super, super high level, you know? So if something changes during the season or, you know, when Jalen Johnson's ready to be the full-time outside guy, you know, is Buster Skrin having to kind of go back and forth between these two, or are they able to keep it separated enough that he's only playing outside in the base coverages and only playing in the slot of the nickel, and they're different enough that it feels like two completely different roles? Either way, I want the most talented players on the field at all times. And when I talk about talent at the cornerback spot, who's better at outside cornerback, Buster Skrin or Kevin Tolliver? Well, we don't know just how good Kevin Tolliver can be just yet. We kind of have a sense of close to mediocrity from Buster Skrin. So to be determined who the better option is there. But Jalen Johnson at some point will be the Bears' best option at outside cornerback that's healthy opposite Kyle Fuller. And that is the point when I would want to see Buster Skrin go right back to inside. Again, the versatility is valuable, but he is, you know, 5'9", 185. And there's going to be some extra challenges on the outside against some of the bigger receivers that he might face out there. Although a lot of teams will move their big receiver into the slot. So it's not brand new for him. It's just not ideal for the Bears. And maybe it's not ideal for Buster Skrin either. But Chuck Pagano feels like he's got options, likes the depth and the numbers they have at cornerback. Don't expect them to go out and make a big signing or anything with Artie Burns' injury. They got a lot of young guys on the bench. And maybe if Buster Skrin's playing full-time outside, that's an opportunity for Duke Shelley in the slot or Kendall Vildor, their fifth-round pick. They've got some options to potentially move some things around. It's just a matter of, okay, how consistently will the production be at that spot, whether it's Buster Skrin or Kevin Tolliver? They've got options, but most of the options have question marks. I realize it's 2 days, two podcasts in a row of talking a lot about this cornerback position. So let's turn our attention to the other side of the ball. Another question mark that we're looking to answer is this Bears running game and the idea that offensive coordinator Bill Lazor coming in to kind of solidify some of that game. And we got a nice little in-depth discussion on his philosophy and the running game identity. Really, I thought a long, well-thought-out answer from the offensive coordinator that we'll hear next on Locked On Bears. We've pretty well established that the Chicago Bears need to improve their running game in 2020. And as you kind of look at the roster, they're looking to improve the running game with almost essentially the exact same group that struggled last season, which means the improvement, I mean, yes, needs to come from those players playing better, but it needs to come from the coaching staff, it needs to come from the play calling, and it needs to come from really that offensive identity being established that just never quite seemed to take hold last year. And you know, Bill Lazor comes in as the new offensive coordinator. Juan Castillo comes in as the new offensive line coach. You know, they're sort of replacing the fired run game coordinators of the previous offensive coordinator and offensive line coach. The idea is, you know, to try and kind of put make them the scapegoat a little bit and fix things this way. And, you know, I think Bill Lazor's going to come in with a slightly different philosophy. I think Juan Castillo is too. And from everything that we're hearing so far, they're saying a lot of the right things, but the question is going to be, okay, will what they say match up with what they see or what we see this season? And I guess where does Matt Nagy's play calling line up with this? Because Bill Lazor and Juan Castillo can have all the right ideas in the world, but they also have to be communicated properly and executed properly, not only by the coach, but the players themselves.
Well, I think the vision is when you explain to them, okay, on this style run play, and there are different styles of run plays, right? There are wide zones, tight zones, gap schemes, pin and pull perimeter schemes or draws. And so on this style run play, this is how we should play. And really the limit, because we did a ton of walkthroughs and then we had a couple long or 2 hour non-padded practices, but really you're talking about two 90-minute padded practices, and so a limited number of plays. The biggest thing I would say is from day one to day two, it got better. And so I'm going to see the positive in that. And hopefully here, as our padded practices get longer, we can get more reps. But, you know, we can't be patient. We got to go. I mean, it's going to have to happen fast. I think if I remember back to that question and answer from the last time that you're alluding to, the second part of it was you got to evaluate the players you have and determine, are you asking them to do the right things for who they are? And that's also ongoing, and it's something we have to do quickly. Both of those things have to kind of happen at the same time. As coaches, you want it to look great right away. You know, I think we have enough experience to realize that after 4 days of practice and 2 days in pads, it's normal to have some error, but we got to get that error smoothed out quickly. And our decision is it because they just haven't done it enough yet, or is it because it's not the best thing that suits them? Normally you have a little more time to make those decisions. We're going to have to make those decisions quickly.
It's pretty much exactly what you want to hear from your offensive coordinator. Make sure the players understand the plays and the philosophies behind them, and make sure you're putting those players in the best positions to be successful. But I can't help but think back to Matt Nagy's first season in Chicago with Jordan Howard in particular, and feeling like he's one example, and this is particularly with the running game, but there are other examples too, of the Bears not necessarily putting players in the best position to be successful. That they weren't running the type of running plays that Jordan Howard's always been most comfortable with. They weren't blocking very well. They weren't sticking to a concrete identity with that running game. They weren't getting him involved in many ways, and they traded him to a team that runs the exact same offensive system but knows how to put him in a better position to be successful, or was able to do so in a way that the Bears didn't. And so as much as, yes, I do, that's exactly what you want to hear and you want to have him say, color me a little bit skeptical that it's going to happen exactly the way that it should, and, you know, get this running game going in exactly that same way. But like we talked about with Cordarrelle Patterson a few days ago, he's a player that had a lot of his success in New England lined up in the I formation with a fullback in front of him. So if you're trying to put him in the best position to be successful, you know, that could mean more of that in this Bears offense. And David Montgomery had a lot of success in the I formation against the Chargers last season when Matt Nagy pulled it out. I believe that was David Montgomery's most successful game of the season last year. So if that's part of the plan and that's part of putting him in the best position to be successful and making him understand the philosophy behind lining it up in the eye and maybe doing a little bit more of a power football, then that's great. That's a strong first step, but it is going to take more than that, and it's going to take an identity and a play-calling rhythm and flow to the running game where it's not necessarily abandoned some of the same ways that Matt Nagy was inclined to do last season. I think the idea, too, is that better quarterback play will lead to more opportunities in the running game, and that the offensive line should be better with Juan Castillo as a coach. And then if as the running game is more productive, there will be more opportunities to then use it. Maybe even slightly better blocking or opportunities at the tight end position to make a difference in the running game. And then they also do need David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen to just continue to progress. You know, David Montgomery flashed a lot as a rookie, but he can take that step forward in year two. And Tariq Cohen can do a little better job of running north and south instead of east and west to the sidelines so often. And then throw Cordarrelle Patterson into this backfield mix. It sounds like they want to make him more of a full running back, even though that doesn't seem like the ideal strategy based on the past, but they've got a plan, and we'll give them the benefit of the doubt as the coach is directly working with Cordarrelle Patterson that they're going to find some different ways to get him the ball. As long as they can still maintain an identity for the running game and not just throwing different guys out there and trying a bunch of different things and seeing what sticks to the wall, then there's progress there. But it's all in this laundry list of question marks that have to be answered in a very short amount of time. That's going to make it really difficult for not only the Bears and all their coaches, but every team in the NFL trying to adjust, trying to reach the heights that they want to reach in a very strange season. Somehow it feels like training camp is going both really fast and actually kind of slow, because a lot has happened, but it hasn't even been that many days. They just put the pads on Monday, and already I feel like, wow, we're already in the thick of training camp. But they're just getting warmed up, and so are we here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure that you subscribe so you're keeping up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. We'll keep you up to date on all of the latest and greatest Bears storylines you need to know. We're not going to beat you over the head with the quarterback competition talk every single day, but we will provide you updates when we have real concrete updates and not just over analysis of a 30-second training camp highlight video that doesn't tell us anything. All I ask is that you tune in every day and bear down.